9:40 now here on WPHM Friday morning. Showers, thunderstorms likely today. More details in the weather forecast coming up in just a few minutes. It was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, sports scandal in American history. The Arizona State point-shaving operation back in the early 90s involved casinos, bookies, NCAA players, millions of dollars bet and won, and a lot of people went to jail over this as well, including our next guest, who was convicted and did time in federal prison and is now speaking out against sports betting. And he's Joe Galliano. His book is called No Gray Areas. He's on the line with us right now. Joe, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning to you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Do you watch sports differently now that you've been through this experience?
Yeah, I do. I tell you, that's a great question, because I've been jaded really ever since seeing how the ease of how we were able to fix games and seeing the ease of which players were able to manipulate certain things inside of a game. So, yes, I do. I do watch games differently.
And do you think it still goes on at the college or the pro level?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been asked that quite a bit lately, and my gut, and I'm a big sports fan, let me preface that, and I want to believe in the inherent integrity of sports and the players, just the competitive nature of the players. And so let me first say that. But I also believe it's really challenging to fix a team sport. I mean, you look at a football game, you look at a basketball game, you look at these college basketball games the way they are now with these superstar kids that are playing only 1 year or 2 years for a university. And they're playing just for the NBA at that point. They're playing for the scouts, and they're playing to get drafted higher. So I believe it's really tough in this day and age to fix and to be able to orchestrate and dictate everything that's going to happen on a court to manipulate the outcome. But I do, Paul, I'll tell you this much, man. I believe wholeheartedly that individual sports such as tennis, such as UFC, anything where individual sports and you have kids that are competing that really aren't making a lot of money. I mean, they're making a lot of money to guys like you and I on paper. It seems like a lot, but really when you factor in the taxes, the training expenses, the traveling, and a 3 to 5 year window to actually get paid, there's not a boatload of money in them. But yet there's a betting line on them.
Yeah.
And it's a betting line on them that can easily coerce them or have them really get into deep thoughts about going to the dark side.
Well, sure, they're looking at all the people making money off what they're doing and saying, hey, where's my cut?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Joe, how'd you get caught up in this?
I got caught up. You know, Paul, back in the early 90s, I was trading bond futures at the Board of Trade in Chicago on the trading floor and, you know, making a really good buck at a young age and product of the environment, I guess, because everyone down there that's a trader is either, you know, I'd say everyone, I'm going to lump the majority of the people in, they have vices, and the vices are either drugs or gambling. Me, I never did a drug in my life, Paul, but I really learned how to gamble. And the product of that environment down there on the trading floor kind of embraces the gray area to begin with, where if you're a successful trader, you're probably not walking a fine line, and more than likely you're in that gray area every day, and that's how you achieve success. Had my brother was going to school at Arizona State University, and you know, I fly back and forth to Tempe, and they were young and impressionable kids, and I had a few bucks, and every time I went out there I made sure everyone had a good time. My brother lived next door to a bookmaker on campus, and the bookmaker had a small college bookmaking operation, and one of his players was the kids that played through the bookmaking operation was a basketball player on the Arizona State team by the name of Stevan Headache Smith. Mm-hmm. And Headache Smith was just an absolute basketball stud. Led the team, you know, was touted to go to the upper first round of the NBA draft. Led the team in 3-point field goals made and attempted, minutes played, dictated everything for Coach Bill Frieder that year. And, you know, he got into the bookmaking operation for about $25,000 to $30,000 and had no way to pay it. So we concocted this plan to have him orchestrate and kind of, you know, give us the final outcome on a couple games.
Mm-hmm. And he was able to do that.
Boy, I'll tell you, it was incredible. Arizona State, for the first game was against Oregon State, Arizona State should have won that game easily, Paul, by 20 points plus. They were so much of a better team. They were a 13-point favorite in the betting line. And I told Headache the day before, I told them actually the day of, right after the shoot-around in the morning, I said, Headache, this game's got to land on six. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I mean, people think of point shaving as offensive performances, Paul, but right. It's not. The true art, if I could say that, mm-hmm. Of a point shaving is, sure, there's some offensive component in it, but that's not the bulk of it. The bulk of it is what they're able to do defensively when they're guarding their offensive player, how much space they're able to give them. Maybe it's a timely foul here or there. And maybe down the stretch you're gonna brick a free throw or two. Maybe down the stretch you're gonna turn over the ball intentionally. But really, allowing the other team offensively to do what they need to do when they need to do it.
How'd you get caught?
Well, I got caught. You know, the boatload of money involved. I detailed it all for the first time in the book. I've been offered many offers over the years to tell the story, Paul, and I never wanted to. I never wanted to unless there was a purpose behind it. And for people that want to go online and kind of check out what the purpose is, they could see it. And the purpose is really just to talk to people and mentor people about life choices and the consequences of life choices. But we got caught. There was a boatload of money involved here. I mean, the fourth game, final game, I had over $5 million on the game. And, you know, loose lips does sink ships, and there were a lot of college kids around ASU's campus that found out about it, and they were betting out there in Las Vegas and moved the betting line drastically quite a bit. And the game was pretty highly scrutinized with the Nevada Gaming Commission, and the FBI got involved and all that kind of crazy stuff, but nothing really ever happened. But it was 4 years after the fact. I mean, literally, I never even thought about this thing for 2 years after the final game. But it was 4 years after the fact that the bookmaker that I referenced earlier, his roommate, which, Paul, I wouldn't even know if he was sitting next to me right now, mm-hmm. He got arrested in Arizona driving to Tucson with a trunkload of pot in his car. So he got arrested, and then my brother's roommate on campus got arrested for some crazy credit card scam that he was doing, and both of those guys ended up playing Monty Hall, let's make a deal with the government, and gave them, was able to provide the government something much more shinier.
So what's your message to people that like to engage in sports betting, even if they're not doing anything dirty, they're just, filling out brackets, or they like to, maybe scrape together a little more money than they should to put on a team?
My message about sports gambling, Paul, is really just to have discipline in anything we're going to do, whether it's trading, whether it's life, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your financial responsibilities, whether it's sports gambling or any type of gambling. It's just all about discipline. That's, discipline always equals success. But my message about my book and my crazy journey that I've been on is really to be aware of life choices, that all choices we make will have consequence, no matter how insignificant we think they are. And if you drift a little bit off center, especially in the early years of life, when you're impressionable, 16 to 22, 23 years old, and you start drifting off center, and then you get to be my age later on in life, and you're labeled a felon, and you've gone through some crazy punches in the gut, you're just so far off center at that point, it's really difficult to overcome that. And more so with the information age the way it is. I mean, everyone has information on anyone at any given time. So the message, the overwhelming message, the takeaway that I had the goal in writing for this book is really just about life choices and to be aware and cognizant that each of the life choices we make does have a significant consequence.
The book is called No Gray Areas by Joe Galliano. Joe, thanks for your time this morning. Good luck to you. We appreciate you joining us.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Take care.
Bye now.